All right, my name's T.C. Brown from St. Charles, Missouri. Been a Christian for the last 2.5 years. Growing up, I had a lot of dreams and hopes for my life, and I guess about the age of 8, when you start to realize that your life isn't as good as what you thought it was, you start to see the things for what they really are around you. And I started to open up my eyes and see how my dad drank a lot and what I hit my mom, or how my mom would lie to us kids, and I started to realize that that wasn't right. And I knew that I didn't want to be that way. So I did everything that I could to not be that way. Didn't want to drink, didn't want to do anything. I knew I wanted to have purpose in life, but I didn't know how to find it. Tried a lot of different things. My parents got divorced when I was... It was like a 5-year-long divorce, but probably started when I was about 10 to probably about 13 or 14, so probably about 4 years. And during that time, my mom would lie to us kids and treat us like we were tools to get at my dad and everything. And so when I got into high school, one of the things I tried to find purpose was wrestling, sports, achievement. And I did 365 days a year I wrestled, and I got fairly good, and it got me into college. And again, I had never drank it until this point. And so I got into college, which was a dream of mine. I know I wanted to be different. My parents hadn't gone to college. So that being good on my own didn't really last very long. By the end of that first season, I had started drinking real heavily. I had a lot of bad influences around me. I went to a Missouri Baptist University to start off. And you think, oh, Missouri Baptist, you know, there's some good influences there. Well, there's not. there's not a lot of good influences there. From the guys on my team who drank and cussed and did all that stuff, to the people who were all sheltered over here that didn't want anyone new in their group. They wanted to remain the good Christians away from me and all the other people on the team. So I got there, and so I started drinking a lot, partying, a lot of girls, just different things like that. And I started to realize that the dreams that I had when I was a kid, I wasn't really doing those. But it didn't really matter to me because I was having a good time, again, with the girls and the drinking and everything. Went to spring break, Panama City, and thought that that was like the coolest thing ever. It was like 4 days of just like partying, like nonstop on the beach, you know. Didn't really find fulfillment in that. And it was just like, I was like, just reading Ecclesiastes, like a chasing after the wind. I kept trying to chase it and do more and more and more because it wasn't filling me up the way that I needed to be filled up. So I wrestled my first year and did fairly well, you know, kind of got injured. Wrestled my second year, I got really injured. And I know I started to notice that the coaches that put so much faith into me that they started to lose their faith in me because I couldn't fulfill what they wanted from me. So they kind of just started dropping me. It kind of leave me feel real empty. And then I just started drinking 5, 6, 7 nights a week. And still more and more. I couldn't fill it up. Well, then my junior year, right at the end of January, these two kids, Eric and Jason, call my little brothers. I'd grown up with them for like the last 7 years. Jason was turning 18. We had a kind of like a birthday party for him. You know, we were all drinking, and the younger one, Eric, had cheated on his girlfriend, and she found out, and they kind of got into a fight. And they broke up, and he got really depressed, and so I went over to visit him. And he had been wrestling with the church plant came over about 6 months before that from Alton, planted a new church. And a couple of the kids wrestled with Eric on the high school team. So that's kind of the church connection. I'll start that there. But he got real depressed. I went over to visit him, and he was just real down. I was talking to him, and he was writing a letter. And I thought it was a letter to Angie. That was the girlfriend. They had been together for like 2 years. Baby, I'm so sorry. You know how those go. I'll never do it again. Take me back. That's what I thought it was, and didn't really play it off. So I'm going to leave, and I was like, I'm going to take – one more time, go and make sure Eric's okay. I couldn't find him. His car was still outside. So I go down the stairs, and he was hanging from his basement. And me and Jason, the older one, we got him down. You know, he was okay. And like, I don't know, something kept telling me to go back inside, go back inside. So I go back inside, and we get him, and he's okay. So then he starts going to church with the two kids that came over on the church plant team from high school. And he had been inviting me and inviting me, and I was like, no, you know, I'll do it next week. You know, I was about to turn 21. My problems were going to be solved. You know, I didn't have to sneak into the bars anymore. I was real good at that, real good at sneaking into the bars. I knew bouncers around the area to where I could go, and yeah, here's my idea. I'm 21, you know. So I turned 21. It's a real long night, 2 days worth. But so I turned 21, drank every night that week, every night that week. And finally he said, man, I've been inviting you. Come to my friend Juan's birthday party. Meet some of these people. And if you like them, come to church with me. So I was like, okay, that's non-threatening enough, you know. That's not too bad. So I go to Juan's birthday party. I meet like probably about 15 or 20 of the campus students from the campus ministry. Felt really awkward at first, but kind of got over it. They're real friendly. So I go to church the next day, and just seeing how these group of kids were so much different than what I had seen at MOBAP, the people that were over here trying to stay safe and being secluded and not wanting anything to do with the bad kid from the wrestling team. So I go there and go to church, and these people are great. So we do a Thursday night cross chat. Now I do two nights, a Wednesday night and a Thursday night. And like I said, I had been real screwed up from the past, and told a story a couple weeks ago at church. I really like it, but I think it's funny. So I go, and my idea of connection was so messed up. I didn't know what a true connection, a true friend was. It was just, hey, we're going to go out and wrestle. We're going to do this. We're going to go out and drink and do this. We're going to go meet these girls, and we're going to do this. But that's where it stopped. It was so surface level. I didn't know what a true connection, a true love was. So I'm at my first cross chat, and I got to talking to this guy. His name was Chandler. And he was talking, asking me my name, my major, you know, where I went to school. And night went on, and he was just real nice, like overly nice, like too nice, like something was up. So at the end of the night, he asked me, hey, man, let's go see a movie sometime. Let me get your number. So I'm like, okay, you know, that's fair enough. I lived about 25 minutes away, so, you know, we were going to go hang out or whatever. So I'm driving home. I was like, man, everyone was real nice tonight. This is real cool. You know, I could get used to this. So I'm thinking, it's like, that Chandler guy is real nice. Got my name, got my number. I was like, oh man, I thought I'd been asked out by this guy Chandler, and he's real cool. He's getting married. I was in his wedding and everything. But I thought I had been asked out. But that's how messed up my idea of connection was with people. I thought that when someone was trying to take a true interest in me, that they were trying to pick up on me, because that's the only thing that I knew how to do is that, all right, if I take a true interest in this girl, you know, then she'll think that I'm interested. And that's kind of how I thought. But so we never really made it to our date, but we did hang out a lot after that. So I get to the crossings, you know, I'm coming around for like a week and a half, and Kerry Cox, he asked me to study, so we're studying. And Kerry's another guy that invested deeply in me and showed that he really truly cared about me. And I wouldn't be who I am right now without that. So many other people from the crossings. But Kerry asked me to study, and we got through like one study. I was like, hey, Kerry, man, I got some time. You want to do another one? So he said, okay. So we got through that one. I was like, you want to do another one? You want to do another one? We went 5 hours, 6 hours, just one day. And then that night, I had made the decision just like to give it all over to God, to truly surrender and to try to change my life around, to break the cycle that my parents had set for me and their parents had set for them, and that my family had settled into almost. It's like we had almost accepted that things are going to be screwed up. But through the people at the crossings and the connections at the churches, I realized in Jesus that I didn't have to settle for that, that I could have something different. So since then, I met my wife. She's really hot. I don't know how else to say that. If you guys want to see a picture, you'll be like, she's with you, and I will say, thank God. I have a chance to start a different kind of family, one that's focused on God, that can raise up godly children, that don't have to see the abuse and the dysfunction that I had to see that won't have the sexual abuse that my sister had to see. So that's a different pattern there. The crossings and the cross between has offered other things to me too, the opportunity to serve. I think like 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, you know, it goes through the whole list, and whenever we're studying with people, I think, you know, for me, I check, double check, because I was almost involved in almost everything on that list, but that's what I was. And I think, and I've seen the people at Lindenwood University, and that's what those people were, you know, and it's my mission to go out and help them and to see them to be able to break their cycles. So I have an opportunity to serve at the crossings. I just recently became a small group leader, and as frustrating as it can be sometimes, it's so much more rewarding when you see someone have a breakthrough to say, aha, this is what it's about. And that's an opportunity that I have. I have a church that supports the campus ministry fully, that although we don't have like the money to support us, the adults come and they serve at our events, so the students can go out and reach out to the people, and we don't have to worry about running the behind-the-scenes stuff. And I have an opportunity to serve in a church there and to help out. And it's weird because you think, you know, lazy college students, but I think college students want to serve, and they want to be loved, and they want to be able to help out and to have purpose, and that's what I was looking for, and all those other things. And I found that through Jesus, through the connections at the church. When I first started coming to the church, I stayed the night at Carrie's one night, and I never left. Because I knew I wasn't in a good environment where I was at, and I stayed there from probably about March till school started. And that's the truth, and that's the type of stuff, the support and the love that I know that I have through the people at my church. And I have a whole group of people there from across the river that I know that love me just as much, and they barely know me. And I look at the people here that I see, you know, two or three times a year, and I know if I called them that they would love me. And it's so great to feel that love, and I know how much the kids on the college campuses need that. And that's really my mission, is to love people and to serve them. And I've been praying and thanking God for, I don't know, a long time about this meeting here and this weekend, because I remember last year and the focus and the purpose that we brought together with that. And it's so great to see people that are wanting to change things and change the world and change the nation. And it's just really cool. Old Paul took a long time, so I don't really have to speak too long tonight. Is that okay with everyone? So just in short, Jesus changed my life, and there's so many people on the campuses that need their lives to be changed and that cycle to be broken. So remember the people that the person I used to be, or that you may have used to have been, and the people that are out on the campuses. Be focused on them, be focused on Jesus, and love everyone. So, all right.